As we said at the beginning of the service, we are talking about peace this week, and that will be the theme that will run through the whole week of worship until next Sunday, the third Sunday in Advent, rather. Next Sunday, we will transfer from the theme of peace to the theme of joy. And there are a few of the Bible studies that we've been working on in the back of the sanctuary, if you would like to pick one up. If we run out, please let me know, and I will see that we get you one. And each Bible study will deal with each of the week's themes. So this week's theme for the Bible study, the take-home Bible study, is peace. So the theme of peace and Isaiah chapter 40 and Luke chapter 1. There was a woman I used to know who would challenge me quite often in Bible study. This was many, many years ago when we were in Bible study together. And she would challenge not only me, but everybody. She used to say, you know, it would be a lot easier to be a believer in Bible times. She said, I don't know why Jesus has sort of left us hanging today. All the multiplication of loaves and the walking on water stuff and all the healings, it would be a lot easier to be a follower of Jesus 2,000 years ago than it is today. She said it would have been impossible for me if I could go back in time to not follow Jesus. And initially I thought that was a pretty interesting argument, but the more I read the Bible, the deeper I get into it, I'm not so sure. And here's why. This morning's theme is peace. And we hear this miraculous announcement from the angel Gabriel, saying to Jesus' mother, Mary, about what Jesus' life is going to be like. And the angel says to Mary, he says in verses 32 and 33 that this Jesus will be great and we will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. This is a great announcement. This is fantastic that Jesus, the Son of God, is going to come to earth in human form. It's what people have been waiting for thousands of years, to have God tear open reality and just show up and say, here we are. Here I am, the God who created you. And here I am. You can touch me. You can speak to me. You can hear what I have to say to you. Jesus will be revealed throughout his life as the Son of God. Mary must have been riding so high after this announcement from Gabriel that Jesus is going to be a king. She's going to give birth to a king whose kingdom, unlike every other kingdom that has ever existed, his kingdom will have no end. There will be no end to Jesus' kingdom. He's going to reign forever. That sounds like a pretty good deal, that she's going to give birth to the Son of God, and she's going to give birth to a king who will be unique in all of history, and that once he begins to reign, there shall be no ending to his reign. He will be the Prince of Peace, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this is why I think it would be hard to believe back then. What peace did Jesus have during his lifetime? What throne did Jesus inhabit during his lifetime? It seems to me that right from the start, we don't get very many sentences into the Christmas story. When Herod decides that in order for the prophecy of a king being born to be unfulfilled, that he has to send out his troops to kill every child, male child, under the age of 2 in Bethlehem. So right out from the start of Jesus' birth, there is automatically war and violence and trouble. We read about the massacre of the baby boys in Bethlehem in the Gospel of Matthew. And then Jesus grows up, and when he grows up and he starts preaching about his kingdom, he encounters conflict wherever he goes. The Pharisees say, hey, wait a minute, you don't have the right diploma on your wall. And even in his hometown synagogue, where they should have been pulling for the kid who's on the home team, they find out that Jesus doesn't say things like they want him to say things. Jesus tends to put their feet to the fire and say, "What have you done lately for God? What have you done lately for your neighbor? How have you been a peacemaker? How have you been a faithful person?" Jesus doesn't seem to be inhabiting peace very often when he goes out and he goes around the countryside and he makes friends with people like John the Baptist. Now, this Prince of Peace is good friends with John the Baptist. You know what happened to John the Baptist? John the Baptist got in trouble for preaching and he ended up beheaded, right? Does that sound peaceful to you? That sounds like if you were a follower of Jesus, you'd start questioning this reign that has no end and this peace that will exist forever. In Jesus' three-year ministry, he was turned on by practically everybody. At his moment of death, there is no one around. None of the closest 12 that he had called to him are anywhere to be seen. Judas betrays him, Peter denies him, and the religious authorities do not care for him. Jesus is a king with no palace. He's a king with no servants. He's a king who dies a horrible death and is abused and mocked. And if the cross means anything to human eyes, it seems to be the end of that dream of the kingdom. Yet, Gabriel announces that there will be a kingdom. Gabriel announces that there will be peace. And we are in the same boat as the early witnesses to Jesus. We need to ask ourselves, where in the midst of all this conflict, where in the midst of all this confusion, where in the midst of all the fog that has settled around our country and our world, is there peace? Our nation is scared and confused. You only have to turn on the news to see politicians, the common person on the street, the suffering, the police officers, people asking questions. And we can't even talk to each other about it. There are some things that just seem to divide and separate us. Doesn't seem to be a time of peace at all. It seems to be a time of conflict. That when we want to bring up some hot button issue about the state of our country, you either have to be with me or against me. There's no shades of gray. We're so sensitive about how we should treat issues like Ferguson, Missouri, or Staten Island, or police officers. We seem more divided than ever. Yet in the face of that, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." So I think Jesus is challenging us to say something. I think Jesus is challenging us to have a conversation of some sort without just saying, "You know what, I can't talk to you because you are not the person who shares my every opinion." There was an early church heresy called Manichaeanism that divided everything in the world between good and bad. God was in control of everything good. Satan was in control of everything bad. So things that were good were church and God and singing and hymns. And everything bad was alcohol and food that you ate. You know, you overeat on Thanksgiving. Food, that was bad. And it was either good or bad. There were no shades of gray in the middle. And that included people. The Manichaeans thought that there were good people and bad people. And the church fathers said, "No, this is not right. This is a heresy because nobody is all one or the other. Sin and darkness," the church fathers say, "dwell in my heart as well as in yours. And you can't say that I'm not going to sin. You just can't say it. You can't say I'm one of the good ones, therefore I'm not going to sin." Yet tonight, if you turn on the news, that's all you will see. The talking heads on television, it's all Manichaeanism. Either it's good or it's evil. There's no compromise. There's no talking. There's certainly no understanding. Either you're for the police or against them. Either you're pro-law enforcement or you're anti. And if you don't believe me, just try, if you really want to ruin your Christmas, wait until everybody's around the dinner table and then bring up something from the news in the past 3 or 4 weeks and see how quickly your Christmas will turn into a brawl. I don't recommend doing it. So in this time, there is no greater ministry for Christians, perhaps. There's no greater ministry that we Christians can offer than offering an olive branch in the name of the Prince of Peace. Start by listening to each other, to try and understand each other. Not to agree, but conversation. Trying to understand where somebody fits in or where they're coming from. Refusing to buy into the Manichaean heresy that if you don't agree with me, somehow you must be evil. What would the world look like if we were really believing that Jesus is reigning as a king right now and his kingdom has no end? What would the world really look like if we believed that when we go out into the world as Christians, as followers of Jesus, that our responsibility is to help transform this world by the love of Christ? That we really are trying to be peacemakers. What would it really look like? C.S. Lewis proposes that everything you see in the world, except for the person sitting next to you, to your right or to your left, everything that you see is going to end someday. The only thing that is eternal is the person next to you. They are going to spend eternity with God, hopefully, or some other sort of eternity. But C.S. Lewis says, how come we treat each other so badly? And we treat all the rest of the stuff that we have so well. And C.S. Lewis, who was a British Christian of the 20th century, said, the most important person you will ever see, the most important thing you will ever see, is the person you see at the supermarket, is the person that you see at the Walmart, is the person that you see on the television, is the person that you hate, because they're eternal. And so we have to find a way. We have to find a way to realize that they are eternal, just as you and I are eternal. And someday when this pulpit is gone and when all these pews are gone, when everything on the earth is gone, you and I will still be around. And Jesus says, C.S. Lewis says, excuse me, that we have to find a way to relate to one another. So the message of Isaiah 40, the message of Luke 1 is that the Prince of Peace is already alive and out in the world. That Jesus' kingdom has already started. And that Jesus has started to reign. And that we have to fall in line to make peace with one another. I don't know what the solution is, but I know that we can do a lot worse than just sitting down and starting to talk to one another and starting to listen to one another. I know that Jesus is in control. That Jesus is starting to rule and starting to reign, that Jesus' kingdom will never end, and that when we come to the cradle on Christmas Eve, and when we worship Him, we are saying once again that blessed are the peacemakers, and that we want to become like the child in the manger, children ourselves, children of the eternal God. Amen.